Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is Salamander Jones, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio!
Welcome to another episode 23 of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am your host, Double D. With me, as always, is the above average comedian, Dan the Man Law.
Woo!
And he's here. I think this is his longest streak yet. It is Mark Go Thompson, or two, Drunk Mark, whatever you want
two,
to say.
Two shows in a row.
Two shows in a row. Perfect attendance award coming for you, sir.
That's what I was going for, a little gold star next to my name.
Now, tonight, we have quite the show. We're going to have the
could
boss.
Could get interesting tonight.
It could. You never know. But we got to have the boss, Mike Tartaglia, from ECWA. And my goodness, I have quite a few questions for him.
I have quite a few. Well, maybe one or two.
We also have Robert Knight. This is where things may pick up.
Yes, a little bit, a little bit.
He, of course, is from New Moon Rising Wrestling, and he has some news and some fan mail.
Hashtag he's gonna shoot.
It could. He has some fan mail. And I believe we may talk about a certain friend of ours as well. We also have Fusion DS. That is none other than... the Damian Dragon and Matt Saigon, they will be here tonight making a return. Yeah, making a return to the cell.
I'm dying to ask them if they beat Lego Batman yet.
Yeah, well.
That's what's been on my mind as well. I've been restless since War Games to find
out
the
end. It's been eating me up inside.
It has been.
Also, Ryan Big Berg, he will be calling in to talk about quite the interesting UWF show.
The Berg.
Yeah, the Berg. Not the bird, the Berg.
Yep, the Berg.
Yes, and God.
We're going to have him on. We'll discuss the return of the Madman, as it was called. My goodness, and what a return it was.
Sounds magical.
I still have a bad taste in my mouth over that one. But we're also going to have Omega Squad. We'll discuss UFC on Fox, some implications, and the light heavyweight division as well. You can subscribe on iTunes. Just feel free to, look up Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. You can also follow on Twitter. That is twitter.com, HIAC Talk Radio. Like the Facebook page at facebook.com, Cell in a Hell. That's / Cell in a Hell. The call-in to join the fun is 718-664-9133. Rather than calling in, some people would rather go on a different program.
That's fine. That's cool for them.
You know, all 14 people that listen to that one.
High five.
High five.
Virtual high five.
Turkey, perhaps. So, like I said, big show. Big show coming up tonight. Like I said, we have the ball.
Big chew.
We have the boss, Mike Tartaglia. Now, he started out this year. He wasn't the fan's best friend, but he certainly wasn't an enemy. Things changed, however, for the worse at Spring Battle, when Tartaglia turned his back on the fans and delivered a chair shot heard around the world to the back of Chris Wilde. He aligned himself at that time with Blackheart. Since then, he has moved a little farther away from the Blackheart tribe. Went out on his own, bought the Mid-Atlantic title, and now he's embroiled in a feud with none other than last week's guest, Monsieur Ooh-La-La. Now, Dan, what do you have to say about Mike Tartaglia, the boss?
He's an evil, evil man. He took the money that everyone was hard-earned and bought the title and put just take the money and put it in Papillon's pocket. I mean, who buys a title these days? Who acts like that when you're running a company? Who would ever do that in a wrestling ring?
I was going to say the Yankees.
You could say the Phillies in 2008.
I was going to say.
So, without further ado, I'm going to bring him on. But when you have a guest of Tartaglia's influence, a guest of his stature, if you will, you got to bring him on the right way.
Mm.
So there we go. That is none other than the boss, Mike Tartaglia. How you doing tonight?
Woo! The boss is here. The boss is in the house.
The boss is here. I'm quite excited to get to the nitty-gritty. We're going to try to go through this in chronological order, if you will. So I want to start out how you broke into the business. Where did you get your training and how all that happened?
Well, I first started out under Joey Maggs, Hotshot Joey Maggs, who was WCW. He was kind of like a jobber in WCW. And he had a little school in Attila's Gym in Wildwood. And I started out training there. And shortly thereafter, he kind of took the money and ran. And the guys that were training there was left without a place to train. And that's when we connected with the leader of Blackheart, Joel Goodhart. And started Ringmasters Wrestling School, and that's when he started the CWA, and he was running big shows at a temple.
Oh, out of Temple University. And
Right. He had some big shows there. He used to bring in Jerry the King Lawler, Kerry Von Erich, Bam Bam Bigelow, Austin Idol. He brought in guys that you would not see around this area.
Adrian Street was another big name
right.
he brought in.
Yep, Adrian Street was there. Bam Bam Gordy was there. There was a lot of guys. Even David Sammartino had wrestled. I think he wrestled Larry Zbyszko on a show.
Oh, David Sammartino, of course, the son of the legendary Bruno Sammartino.
Right.
Now, at the time, when
I'm related to Bruno Sammartino.
You're related to Bruno?
Yeah, Michael. I used to wrestle as Michael Bruno. Fans used to ask me that all the time. Well, you know the mentality of some of these fans.
I do, unfortunately, know some of the mentality. The Delaware mouth breathers, as we call them. Now, I'm sorry, but what I was going to say, you wrestled at the time as Hitman Mike Bruno. Now, did you come up with that gimmick, or was that given to you by Joel Goodhart?
Actually, Joel Goodhart came up with that in a matter of minutes. I remember being in the wrestling school when I asked him, what my gimmick was going to be and my name. And, like, it took him, like, 2 minutes to think of it. And he said, you know, Michael Bruno. And then he said, we'll put you with Tony Stetson and we'll call you the Hitman. So, you know, they put me with Stetson. We had a lot of tag matches together.
Now,
which was good to put me with him because Stetson was one of the top guys in the TWA.
Yeah, so that kind of got your footing. Now, how would you describe your career in TWA, looking back, the original TWA, that is?
I actually, believe it or not, I won the very first Ringmaster Rumble. It was at the Roundhouse in Philadelphia. Outside, it was one of the first TWA shows, and I had won that Battle Royal that day. And by then, putting me with Stetson, you know, I was in a lot of matches. I had actually wrestled the original Black Hearts, which was one of the guys was Gangrel. And we had also worked the Pitbulls, and I wrestled the Sandman a lot. I actually liked working with the Sandman. I didn't like him as a person, but I did like to work a match with him.
Okay, so TWA, you were there for its entirety, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes, yep, from, you know, the first few shows Joel had, you know, he had before the school started, so, and that was at Temple, and then when the school started, I was on, you know, the very first show, which was at the Roundhouse, all the way up to the last show. On the bigger shows, though, at Pennsylvania Hall, a lot of the, you know, guys from the school were just in Battle Royals.
Okay.
I was on those shows, and, you know, we had a reverse steel cage Battle Royal, we had a Last Blood Battle Royal, you know, those all different kinds of Battle Royals.
Now, after TWA folded, what happened to your career at that point? Did you retire, or were you still on the indie circuit?
Yeah, after Goodhart had closed up, you know, Todd Gordon had started ECW. I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was ECCW, I thought. On the very first show. And I was on the first show, and after that, then I just called it quits. And they probably weren't going to use me anyway, but, you know, I was done. And then, you know, I had to own my own business, and a couple of years later, Larry Sharp, Pretty Boy Larry Sharp, had come into my dollar store along with Dennis Carluzzo. I wanted to hang posters up for their wrestling show because they had the... it was at the Clementon flea market. They were doing shows for the Monster Factory. So I had to put a poster in, and I figured, you know what, let me get back into it again. And I did, you know, I said, let me on a few shows. I'll sell tickets. You could advertise the show here. I did a couple shows then, and then another guy, Bay Ragney, started up LAW, Liberty All-Star Wrestling. And I worked his first show, and then that was it. I was done until... 2009 when I brought back the TWA.
And that's the perfect place to go right now. TWA, you revived it from where it was. It was pretty much over at that point. It was forgotten in history almost, and
right.
You revived it.
You know, if it wasn't for Joel Goodhart, there would be no ECW. A lot of people don't realize that. But without the TWA, there never would have been an ECW. It never would have started. And Joel actually brought hardcore wrestling to the Philadelphia area. So, that, you know, in 2009 when Facebook was really popular, started getting popular, and I got on Facebook, I started connecting with Tony Stetson, Bay Ragney, a lot of the guys that I had wrestled with, Jimmy Jannetty, and I thought about having a reunion show. And your buddy... Joe Zanoli actually laughed at the idea.
really?
He laughed at it, thought it was ridiculous, and now he's obsessed.
Yeah.
And we ran the first show, and it was a good show at the Flyer Skate Zone, and we had we brought back the original, the last champion of the TWA, Nature Boy Buddy Landell, and we brought him back. After, you know, 20 years of, you know, of no champion and the promotion closed, we brought him back and made him the champion because he, you know, he stated he never lost a belt and he was still the champion. So we gave him the belt and we just kept running shows since then.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Now, that was the first show that Joe Zanoli booked, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay, so
Joe Zanoli, you know, I mean, as much as I don't like him, Joe is a great booker. And I heard before they had a shirt saying, "Book it, Gabe." I think they should have a "Book it, Zanoli" shirt. What do you think of that?
Book it, Zanoli, hand me a cannoli. That's what I say.
That's
that
right.
Be...
Well, I mean, the shirt would have to, he would probably take a, you know, a 4 or 5 XL. But, you know, we should sell those shirts. I think they would sell.
I do, too. I think merchandise is a big opportunity for you guys. But that's more of an off-air discussion.
Yeah, really.
Now, you're running TWA. It's going pretty successfully. At the autism, I believe it was Autism Strikes, or the autism show is what most people call it now.
Right.
It
was Body Slam Autism, our first show, and that was the main event was wise guy Jimmy Cicero versus Kamala.
Yes. It was at that show where I believe you were approached by none other than a former ECWA owner. I forget his name right now.
Jim Kettner.
Yes, thank you, Jim Kettner. I got so many names in my head right now. But so you're approached by Jim Kettner to purchase ECWA.
Right. Yeah. That was actually, I think that was at the second autism show because we had two. So it was, I'm pretty sure it was, it could have been the first one that he came to. I can't even recall. But maybe it was the first one, actually. But we took it over in September of, I guess it was, yeah, 2010. So.
Okay, so you take it over, you purchase it from Kettner. Now, what was that like, taking over this, at the time, I believe it was 43 years of a tradition for ECWA.
Right.
What was that like, taking it over from someone that people looked up to in the business? You know, Kettner was that type of name in the business.
Right, people looked at him as like the godfather. You know, the guy said he... The guys that he used on his shows, you know, feared him. They were, you know, they would never say peep to him. They didn't have enough guts to say anything to him. They would never, you know, they would never bring up something to him. They would never ask if they could leave early. They were scared to death of him. But, you know, when Kettner first started running, you know, his shows were the top shows in independent wrestling. I mean, that's how Ring of Honor started. They copied off of him. And yeah, he did use a lot of the top guys, like Christopher Daniels, Austin Aries, Brian Danielson. But then, you know, after Ring of Honor stole his ideal and they were running and doing all those shows like that, Kettner decided to change up his format and switched over to all characters. And then he started to use guys, you know, that were horrible. He would use anybody that would mop the floor. You know, it would work for free. You know, they had a purpose. He would put them on the show. I mean, you know, from going from one of the best independents to, you know, then, you know, basically a lot of the people that followed him, they stopped coming. You know, if you put out a bad product, people aren't going to come no more. And, you know, when you got guys like Courageous Cruz, who, you know, my 8-year-old son weighs more than him, and is just about as big as him. But yeah, him headlining the card, you know, Courageous Cruz and Jason Lee. I mean, you know.
Jason Lee.
Jason Lee, yeah, he's retired now. He he thought he was going to be, Jim Kettner promised him the next Super 8, and when we took it over, you know, I mean, I think you saw the Super 8. You know, I think that was the one with Adam Cole in it. Do you think Jason Lee, you know, fit in there, him and Travis Blake?
I don't think so.
You know, we had Adam Cole in there, Austin Aries, and then we would have Jason Lee, you know, Bobby Shields, you know. I mean, who would they wrestle? So when he found out he wasn't in it, you know, he quit. And just like a lot of the guys, they had started to leave because we started to bring in real wrestlers, guys that could work. You know, when I first took over, the guys, they would come, the wrestlers would come in, they'd come in with their Burger King and McDonald's, you know. And now these guys like Tony Nese and Papa Don and Johnny Silver, they come in, they're, you know, they eat fruit, they're eating nuts, they look like wrestlers, they train like wrestlers, you know. They are wrestlers, real wrestlers. They're not backyarders or, you know, guys pretending to be pro wrestlers like a lot of the guys out there on the indie circuit today.
Now when you bought the company, did you have things figured out, or did you buy the company and go, okay, what am I going to do now? Or did you already have all your ducks in a row at the time of the show? At the time of the buy?
Well, actually, like, you know, Zanoli, once again, he really wanted ECWA. You know, I was happy running TWA.
Yeah.
It was close to me. It's in New Jersey. It's a lot better area than Smell-O-Ware. I mean, the first time I went to Delaware, I hated it. You know, besides, you know, everybody there smokes. You know, I mean, if you're driving down, you'll see 18 million cigarette factories. I'm sure, Dean, you've seen some of them.
I apologize.
You probably passed. You probably stopped in a few, right?
Perhaps.
Yeah.
So anyway, I didn't really like Delaware at all. But you know, Zanoli, he kept talking me into it, saying, "Oh, they got the super rate, you know, covered in the magazine." He kept, you know, bugging me to buy. You know, I was like,
I can hear it too. I can hear it.
Yeah. So you know, I was like his daddy. So I bought my son a wrestling promotion. So, you know, we bought the ECWA, and at first I really didn't like it. I hated it, and there was times where I just wanted to quit ECWA and just concentrate on TWA, because TWA was going good. And then as we kept running the shows, it actually switched. We were, you know, the TWA was doing, I mean, the ECWA was doing a lot better. We had a stronger fan base, and you know, I started to actually like running the shows there in Delaware. Mm. I don't like the area, but I do like running the shows there. And we did have a plan. We actually, in August, I went and met Jim Kettner. I never had met him before, so we went and met him at the show. And he wanted me to take over that night. And he was just going to leave right after during a match, a battle. He was going to leave, and then he wanted me to announce, I'm the new owner, with no notice to any of the guys, and I didn't want to do that. So we actually, you know, we had decided we were going to take it over, and we came prepared, and we had flyers already made up for September. So the fans just thought it was going to be some kind of TWA invasion or me working with Kettner or something like that. And they were surprised, you know, in September when we took it over. And we already had the first show planned, and we brought in Shockwave and the Blue Meanie. You know, we tried to bring in names because, you know, Kettner, he would bring in a name maybe once a year as a treat to the fans.
No.
But we did have, you know, we did have a plan, and we did try to use all the guys that were working there, you know, and then, you know, as time went on, they, you know, as we brought in new guys, you know, people would leave. I mean, I had Courageous Cruz come to me and tell me he didn't like the direction of the company. And he quit. I mean, I was happy he left.
Bye.
I mean, you know what? He was a nice kid, and he was a hard worker, you know, setting a ring up and everything like that. But, you know, as a wrestler, you can't compare him to Papa Don or, you know, Kakawa or, you know, Johnny Silver or Tony Nese or any of the guys we got. I think we definitely have a better roster now. If you look back, you'll see the roster is definitely better.
Now, you kind of answered this already, but just to follow up, like, how long was it after you bought it, started running shows, that it started to take off, turn around?
I'd say, you know, the first few shows were tough. I mean, it was a good, you know, at least 6 months, and it started to turn around then, and the shows started getting better, and The attendance kept going up. You know, there are times of the year where attendance is down, like in the summer and stuff. But even last month, I thought the attendance was up for a July show. I didn't expect that many people, but you know, it was pretty full. So it took like 6 months before it turned around.
Okay. So you talked about turning around a company, and you talked about part of that was bringing in names and, you know, not just treating the fans once a year to a special wrestler. What else do you think really goes into turning a company around? What's the difference between an ECWA, which seems to want to do well now, as compared to, what was it, Liberty Wrestling that you brought up, that you were involved
Liberty
with that
also,
didn't do so well?
The one that was years ago. I mean, they had brought some good guys in back then, like Steve Corino had worked there, Al Perez had worked there. But wrestling was different back then. You know, there wasn't a lot of wrestling promotions back then in the 90s. Now it's like everyone and their mother owns a promotion. And if a guy can't get booked, he's going to rent a ring or buy a ring and start his own promotion. You know, a lot of guys, you know, are popping up anywhere, renting fire halls, throwing a ring in there, getting their friends to wrestle for free, and they're bringing their family and friends to watch them. We're actually, like, one more thing, like when Petner had it, his guys sold tickets, the local guys. They brought in their family and friends. We are bringing in fans, you know. Like, our slogan now is become a fan all over again. We're actually making people become a fan again.
Was there ever a time, I wanted to throw this in, was there ever a time towards the beginning you were really nervous, oh man, I made a mistake? Or were you pretty much, you know, this is going well, no problem?
In the beginning, like I said, I was disgusted, and I was like, you know, I thought it was a mistake. You know what? Because it was too much work. We were running two promotions. We had two web pages, two Facebook pages, you know, different press releases. It was a lot of work, and I was doing all the work.
Oh, jeez.
Not really. I'll give credit where credit is due. Joe Zanoli does do a lot of the work. You know, he does 90% of the work, you know. So, yeah, but it was still a lot of work. I mean, I was still driving down to Delaware, putting flyers out, getting people to flyer. You know, I'd have to go down there, meet with people and stuff. So it was taking time out, and I do have another business. And running two promotions, it was tough. So, down the road, we decided just to merge it together and just keep the ECWA. It's a lot easier with one promotion, and we can still do more shows now because we're to the point now where, you know, we have a system down, we have a good group, we have a good ring crew now, we have a good street team, and we got a good bunch of guys wrestling.
Now, what
things are looking up, and, you know, we are adding shows.
Now, what are some of the challenges that you see right now promoting an independent wrestling show?
The hardest part right now is that, like I said, there's too many promotions. I mean, on any weekend, there's like four shows in the area. So when there's that many shows, you know, not that even some of them are competition, but you got other people, they might go to another show, you know. And there's just too many promotions. I mean, if this was like back in the day, we would be drawing a lot better because, you know, if they could only go to one Delaware promotion, they're going to go to ours. But if there's four different shows in Delaware and they can't make ours, they might go to the next one, you know what I mean, and then hit us up the next month, you know. So and plus the way the economy is right now, wrestling, it's not really a necessity. It's like a luxury, you know. You don't have to go to wrestling. So if people don't have the money, I mean, you know, our tickets are a lot cheaper than everyone else's. And, I mean, if someone can't afford $15 for a ticket, you know, it's 50 cents a day. And they come to our show and get 3 hours of entertainment and have fun. You know?
If
you go to the movies, you're going to spend a lot more than that.
Yeah, especially when you take into concessions and all that stuff.
Right.
Now,
a popcorn and a soda is like $15, I think.
I'm gonna bring up a name. Now, you don't have to answer it, but I know you're a straight off the cuff kind of guy. So, DJ Hyde, do you think he is hurting the business with some of the antics he's done? Like, because of DJ Hyde and the Nick Gage incident, there is a commission in Delaware now. So, do you think?
Right. I definitely think that because, you know, a lot of times, a lot of places like schools and certain buildings, they look down on wrestling. And the reason why they look down on it, it's got a bad name, is because of stuff like that. That's not wrestling what they do. And I'm not saying they don't have some guys that can work, like Adam Cole wrestles there. He's a great wrestler. He doesn't do that garbage stuff with the barbed wires and all. There's no need for that in every match. There's no need for blood. There's no need for light tubes and weed whackers and staple guns. So as soon as somebody says wrestling, they some of the people do think of that because they've heard about CZW, and then they don't want you in the building. I mean, that was one of the problems we had when we went to the skate zone. PWU, which was run by Johnny Cashmere back in the day, actually did a show there. Sandman showed up drunk. There was cursing going on. They broke the toilets. There was all kinds of incidents that happened. They wrecked the building, and, you know, they also stiffed the skate zone and didn't pay them. So when I go in there, they hear wrestling, they think the same thing is going to happen, you know. But when they did see our first show, they gave me a shot, told them we were family friendly, showed them our website, the wrestlers. You know, they loved the first show, and they wanted us back, and that's why we went there every month, you know. And now, you know, after we left the skate zone, DJ Hyde and CZW are in there now.
Now, is that relationship now busted again because of CZW, or are you going to go back?
No, as far as going back to the skate zone, I just think that area of Voorhees is too rich. They're not into wrestling. It's a hockey town.
Yeah.
They're into hockey. I mean, a lot of times people would come right in, and they would just want to know what court, rink their kids are playing in, and they would go right to the hockey. They didn't care about wrestling. Mm. We had done appearances there. They would walk right by the wrestlers and look for their, you know, which rink they were in, and head to the rink. They didn't care about wrestling. That's why we left there. It had nothing to do with CZW or anything. They just, you know, they saw the opening. I mean, they would have never let them in there if I was running there. Nobody could run a show while I was in there. I had the exclusive on there. Somebody tried to, and he asked me. I said no, and, you know, they wouldn't let anyone else run. So if we wanted to go back, I'm sure we could go back, but, you know, I don't have any plans to go back there.
Now, I have another question for you, and I wanted this opportunity to ask you this because I gave the other person the opportunity, had a bit of a situation, and if you want to bypass this question, go right for it. You're the boss. The Bandido situation, what happened and what went down?
Well, Bandido, he was working for us with all our guys, you know, our core group of guys that we use on every single show. We give all our dates to in advance, and we confirmed them through email and on the phone. He confirmed all our shows. He had no other booking that night, and he was good for the show. He was on the poster. It was on his Facebook page. Joe constantly put the poster on his page. He seen it. He knew he was on. We have it in writing, and he had no plans of working anywhere else but our show, and then CZW adds a show like 2 weeks, 3 weeks before this show, and he decides, you know, to go wrestle for them because he's their tag champs. But I don't really think the tag belts mean anything because after they won the belts, the next month they weren't even on the show where they should have been because, you know, the tag team champion should be on every show, you know, especially on an indie show when you're not running, you know, week after week like WWE or night after night. If you're only running once a month, you should have your tag champions on every show. You know, I think we've always had our belts defended on every show. And Bandido agreed to the date, and then he told us he had to work CZW. He didn't want to ask DJ that, you know, if he could do a double shot where, you know, people would ask. But DJ's kind of like Kettner in a way, too, where people are afraid of him. You know, they think he has ties in getting people tours all over, even though they have to put the money out of their own pocket, you know. I mean, when a guy goes on a tour, he's paying for that tour. You know?
Yeah.
He could probably get himself on the tour himself, but, you know, they think DJ's going to get him into Japan and other places, and even though it's costing them more money, they'll do it because they think they're going to get to WWE or the next level by doing it. Yeah. And there's a lot of places on these tours in the UK that you know, if you look at some of the videos, they look like they're wrestling in the basement. So Bandido, you know, Bandido basically screwed us over. And, you know, I thought he was a nice guy. You know, we gave him a big push. I mean, he was never in a magazine before with CZW. He was in last month's issue. And I think he had three or four pictures in there. We put him in the Super 8. And, you know, he went to the finals with Papa Don. We got him a lot of exposure. I think he made the wrong choice.
Yeah.
A lot of people could say that. Now...
Yeah.
because I think, you know, once, you know, CZW's done with him, where's he going to go from there?
He
did a lot better with us and went a lot further with us.
I think
he's definitely going to realize that. I'd say within the next 6 months, he's going to realize he made a mistake.
Well, don't cross the boss. That's what I say.
That's right.
Don't cross the boss. Now, another thing I wanted to bring up, and we spoke off air about this yesterday. At the last show, two men showed up, snuck in the side door,
mm-hmm.
and came up and asked you for some type of partnership. Now, of course, these men are none other than a legend in Larry Sharp and a legend in his own mind, Danny Cage. Now, what happened at this meeting?
I've been talking to Larry Sharp probably for a couple months now. He contacted me, and he was at the Super 8. I talked to him then, and after the Super 8, he contacted me because I guess he had a falling out with New Moon Rising, and they needed a ring, you know, for their school.
Mm-hmm.
So they basically wanted to use my ring. And, you know, he would have nothing to do with ECWA. I wouldn't let anybody into that. It would be a separate.
I love you, Mike.
It would be a separate partnership where, you know, I told him we do get a lot of inquiries every week for guys that want to train to be a wrestler. And I thought about it before about opening up like an ECWA training academy. But, you know, it's kind of risky. I mean, if you don't have the students, you still got to pay that rent, and the rent's not cheap. You know, if I don't have the money for the rent coming in from the students, I got to take it out of my own pocket.
Yeah. Yes.
So, you know, we're still kicking that around, too. I'm still trying to find a place because we are, lately we've been getting, you know, a lot of inquiries. So, you know, I'd hate to waste that. You know, and some of them aren't, you know, some of them are just BS inquiries. But some of them may come true, and some people, you know, do want to train. So I told Larry I would refer him people, and he would give me a fee for each guy that I referred. But, you know, their price is $4,000, which is a lot of money.
And, yes.
In today's age, you know, when people are losing their jobs and people can't pay for their car or their house, they're not going to have $4,000 to put up at once. So it would be more like a monthly payment or a weekly payment. And, you know, really, how much am I going to see out of that? You know, $5, $10 a week is really not enough.
Yeah.
So, you know, they wanted to use the ring, but, you know, if I put the ring in New Jersey and most of our shows are in Delaware, it's going to become a problem with getting a ring back and forth to the shows, be putting wear and tear. And even though they promised to take care of all this, I mean, you know, in wrestling, when you deal with other people that are in wrestling, you know, you can't really trust everyone. Usually those partnerships don't work out. I'm not saying it wouldn't have with Larry. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. You know, I never had any dealings with him. You know, I mean, I did wrestle for him 3 times 20 years ago. I mean, he paid me and everything. But, you know, a lot of people talk bad about him, and I never had any bad dealings with him. So I don't really know what would have happened, but it was kind of risky, and they decided to get their own ring. So that partnership isn't going to happen.
Thank goodness for that.
Yes.
That's all I'll say about that. But, Mike.
We could see an ECWA training academy soon.
That would actually
be awesome.
Yeah, that would be very exciting, quite frankly. Now, who would be your head trainer?
Well, depending on where. I would use guys, you know, that are, of course, wrestling for ECWA. If the school's going to be located in Delaware, you know, it could be Chris Wilde, you know.
Yeah.
It depends on where it's going to be located because, you know, all these guys do work full-time jobs. So, I mean, I couldn't have Papa Don coming down from New York.
He'd
be a great trainer, but, you know, that wouldn't happen. But what I would do is, like, on weekends, possibly bring in, like, say, like Papa Don one Saturday to train, bring in different guys like Tony Nese or someone, you know?
Cool.
I'd have to really see, but we would definitely have some experienced trainers.
Now, my
it
last...
wouldn't be me training them.
Well, and that was another question. Could you get the mighty Grey Wolf to train?
Grey Wolf? Nah. What's he going to train to do?
Or maybe Lumberjack Monroe. Maybe we could have
Jeez. He still needs training. You know what? I mean, look, he met him at the show. He was a nice guy, but, I mean, he's not a wrestler. You know what I mean? He's playing pro wrestling.
You could have Monsieur Ooh La La train people.
That's true.
There you go right there. Ooh La La could be a trainer, and he's in Delaware. As much as I don't like him, and I will destroy him next month in a tag team match, and if one of those lumberjacks from Delaware touch me, they're going to be sorry.
Hey, Mike, what if it's a lumberjack from New Jersey?
Then they can touch me, but
okay.
Delaware, I really don't want anyone from Delaware touching me. I'm
now,
thinking
Mike,
about wearing one of those hazmat suits or something. I really don't want any of them people touching me.
Now, Mike,
you ever get
close
to some of them people?
I have.
I don't think they know what soap is. I don't know if you were at the one show when I was walking around giving out soap and shampoo to the people.
I think that was in
October.
That was before my time. I wish
that was great. I gave out deodorant, toothpaste, mouthwash, and you know what? You think the fans would know I was making fun of them? They were asking for it. They wanted it because I don't think they ever bought it.
Now, Mike, I'm going to say right now on the air, on the record, if I am somehow randomly selected as a lumberjack, you're okay in my book.
All right. You know what? I know you smoke, so I don't want you blowing any of that, you know, cigarette smoke on me.
No, that won't happen. I will look the other way if you happen to fall out on my side, sir.
Your friend Ryan tells me you're like Morton Downey Jr.
A little bit.
He's like Morton Downey Jr. without the talent.
We'll get Dean one of those painter's masks.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll give him a painter's mask.
I wore last month.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, now September 15th, that's of course what we're talking about. But then throughout the rest of the year, you still have, at Carney's Point, you have an 8-man tag match. You have a lot going on.
We just added a show at Sports & More in Sewell, New Jersey. The ECWA is going to debut there, and I think it's going to be a good spot. And we look forward to running plenty of shows at that location also.
That's not rich enough.
That's rich enough. That's my hometown, Washington Township. But you know what? I'm like a hero in this town. I'm like a legend. So I could see there'll be tons of people flocking out to see me. I think everyone in my gym will come. Everyone at my work, everybody will flock to see me.
All right. So that's, of course, September 15th is the next show, the 45th anniversary show. Now, is there anything else you want to tell Ooh La La before it's time to move on, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Well, Ooh La La, you know, he stole that belt from me, okay, after I won that in a hard-fought battle against Kakoa. He stole the belt from me, and now he's partnered up with Cole Calloway, who I don't even want to go near. And at the next show with my new partner, Ricky D'Amato Martinez, who is an extraordinary athlete, we're going to destroy both of them. And eventually, I do want to get another rematch against Ooh La La and win back my Mid-Atlantic Championship.
I think that's
going to happen.
Let me just say that those matches are classics. Classics.
That's right. Technical wrestling.
So anyway, Mike, it was a pleasure. I would love to have you back on because
anytime.
Okay, I love it. So Mike, you have a great night, and we'll talk real soon.
You too. See you at the show.
That's right.
All right, thanks.
Okay, so that was the boss, Mike Tartaglia. Mark, what did you think about that?
Well, you know, it's nice to talk to a guest of his caliber, you know, one with not only such a rich history, but, you know, like Papadon brings a level of class to this lowbrow show that, you know, we don't always get every week.
That's true. That is true.
And he's good looking.
Now, I do have a caller. I'm not sure who it is, so I'm going to bring them on. They want to talk, so let's see what this is. Now, caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Y'all, this is Ref Rich. I'm calling out of Morristown. What's up, big guy?
What? How you doing tonight, Ref Rich? What's on your mind?
Hey, just a couple things, man. I'm enjoying the show. It was nice to hear Mike out there and so forth. But listen, hey, Dean, I got a question for you.
Okay, that's why I'm here.
All right. Rumor has it you're cutting in all my action. What's up with that?
I'm cutting into your action? What are you talking about?
He's doing your wife or something?
Huh?
He's sleeping with your wife or something?
Hey, I'm not married, dude.
No, all right, well.
Yeah, I'm not married. Watch it.
Anyway.
Talk to Ryan. Ryan gave me a little piece of information Saturday night, so I just wanted to see what was happening.
Oh, well, Ryan's mom, she may have had a secret crush on yours truly, so.
But I'm just busting on you, brother. He was telling me that Saturday night. I said, don't tell him. I want to call him, break him up on it.
There you go. You certainly did. I'm moving on. I got to get to the Knight Rider, Ref Rich.
You got it, brother. Hey, you guys have a good night. Robert Knight, if you're listening, hey, brother, I'm waiting to hear your fan mail, my friend. Everybody out there, ciao, be safe.
Yeah, I want to hear it, too. So, all right, that was Ref Rich, senior official.
What just happened?
I'm not sure.
What's he cutting in on his action? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So now it's time to move on to the Knight Rider in just a second. Here we go. Oh, I'm excited. Yeah, segues, you know, whatever.
There's an art to it.
Okay, so Robert Knight, welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. Now, you're a little bit calmer tonight. Am I right in that assumption?
Yes, I am a little bit calmer tonight. Actually, I was listening to your previous guest, and of course I got a little bit riled up, and I'm going to try to remain calm. If he's saying he was hanging with Larry Sharp at the Super 8, you know, I've had a few bumps to my head, but I do have a car that keeps track of stuff, and the partnership with the Monster Factory and New Moon Rising Wrestling was still going strong at the Super 8 tournament, so apparently those snakes in the grass must have already known there was going to be something going on if they were already maneuvering to get a ring of their own at the Super 8, because that was well before there was any controversy.
Let me clarify, because Mike kind of jumped around. When the snakes in the grass came to the show, that was at War Games, which was July 14th. Then Mike jumped around that he was talking with Larry, not about the ring, but he was talking with him at the Super 8 because the Nigerian Nightmares were actually at the Super 8. So, and Larry had to maneuver his way into coming out to the ring and blah, blah, blah. But, so let me make that clear. I think it was just the way it was heard. It wasn't the way it was meant.
I still smell something a little fishy, but that's all in the past now.
Okay, so Robert, what do you have to say tonight? What's on your mind?
There's always a lot on my mind. Right now, we just received word this morning that this week's episode of Fan Mail is actually nominated for an award as TV Show of the Year already. And we're only on the Internet. To be nominated for TV Show of the Year, I mean, that's Captain Dave category that we're walking into with that one. But we broke a lot of ground. I mean, we had a few surprises. We had a great commercial for the New Moon Rising Wrestling Proving Grounds with a former, I don't want to call him star, but a former competitor for New Moon Rising. We had an appearance by Justin America, who has got some big things lined up. And, you know, I'm just so happy about the way Season 2 of Fan Mail is going this year.
Now, you said you had a big announcement. What's that?
The big announcement is more about the company than about myself. New Moon Rising Wrestling is getting ready to have our rebirth, the uprising, if you will, of the company. Things are going great with the new building. We're getting things set up and ready to go, and I want to make the announcement to all the wrestlers who are tuned into your show tonight that we consider ourselves a tight-knit family, New Moon Rising Wrestling, and we're always looking to expand. We're looking for, you know, top guys from any promotion who are interested in coming to compete in something that we think is going to be a good, you know, a strong movement in professional wrestling. We want to bring guys that have a passion for the business, who are loyal, and who are willing to bust their butt to give the fans a show. Like you said, we're going to be running about twice a month. So if there's anybody interested in coming to work for New Moon Rising Wrestling, you can hit us up on our Facebook page. and the door is wide open.
Now, there was a little bit of controversy earlier today. Apparently, the Facebook page was flagged for abusive behavior.
For abusive behavior. And I wonder where that came from. It doesn't take a genius or a talking car to figure out where that came from. And I think for those of you that have been on the Facebook page this week, I think there's even people, I say people, but there's probably, you can count them on one hand who it could be, who are even making up fake pages now and coming after us. I mean, there's apparently a girl named Jenna Lee who's been attacking me lately. The girl supposedly is a college graduate. She can't spell, and she only has 50 friends, and she lives in another state. So, I mean, they're not too bright with that one.
But she's big into apparently going after you.
Of course. You know, everybody is. What's funny about it is I'm on your show every week. You guys have me on, and I'm here. I mean, the guys know the phone number. They can talk behind my back. They wait till the show's over. They go on other shows with has-been wrestlers to promote God knows what. And the fact of the matter is all they have to do is call. You know, they can call and talk to me directly instead of denying everything behind my back or saying this guy's off running his mouth and they create fake Facebook pages. I mean, call in and tell me what you have to say.
I would love that. I would certainly love that because, frankly, it makes for good radio.
Robert, you should really realize that, like, when you're in middle school, you can't make phone calls past 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, that's true.
You also realize that when you're on a computer, you have, it's something called, and we're all familiar with it, it's called internet muffles.
Exactly.
Where, you know, I have a computer and a keyboard, and I know how to spell words, so I think my opinion should be heard, and I'm going to force it upon everybody, when really, nobody really wants to hear what you have to say.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it's not even just that, but the fact that these guys are acting like I'm doing something wrong just because I'm the only guy to come out and tell the truth. I mean, Dan Cage can say all that he wants, but even up to a couple weeks ago, I know for a fact that he was calling guys, and I'm not going to say who, but personally calling them after my appearances on your show, asking them to ask me not to keep bashing them.
Really?
I mean, absolutely. That's a 100% shoot, that he's asking them to ask me to please go easy on them. And all I've done is tell the truth.
Hey.
I told the truth from day one, and, you know, these guys are not saying anything to me directly about it because the only bit of, the only bit of conversation that I had with Dan at all was about a month ago on Facebook, and it went from me telling the truth about business-related things to him attacking me in my personal life because he had no defense for what I was saying because he's a shyster, he knows he's a shyster, and he's got no defense for it.
Do me a favor, with people, just in case one of these people are listening right now, what's that number again there?
It's 718-664-9133.
Call in.
Yeah, I mean, that just doesn't go for Dan. I mean, it's not just for Dan, because I know Party Rockin' usually doesn't get going until after 11:30, so I'm sure he's listening, too.
I mean, if you got something to say, big and bad, let's hear your voice. Stop hiding behind a computer and do something.
You know, I'm sure Jenna Lee's listening too. Jenna Lee, give us a call and prove that you're really Jenna Lee.
Yeah, I even said that myself. Now,
your name is Bill.
Now, what I wanted to get into now, I did receive some fan mail. We'll get back into this discussion because it's pretty interesting. But I did receive some fan mail. And it's from, now I'm going to read it verbatim. Hi, yo, Knight. This is Madman Moretti. I'm a wrestle. Remember, I was in Ferris Hills, and I know I was. Who said that Moose was back nose right? I can and was Moose. Hardcore is because I am hardcore. I am back. Thanks to the people who made it happen, and I come soon to Monster Factory because Madman. And it's simply signed Moose.
I don't even know what to say about that. I mean, I did see video of the catastrophe that happened in Fairless Hills, and for those people that bought a ticket, I'm so, so sorry that you had to sit through what you witnessed there. But, I mean, obviously by the letter, it sounds like he's doing great, and he hasn't fallen off the wagon.
he couldn't even get into the ring. I don't know. Now, here's another one, and it's a follow-up, I believe.
Okay.
Hey, it's Moose Man. I'm sorry about last letter I sent. I drinking. Moose, hardcore Moose, look out. Madman Moose. So, what do you got to say about that, Robert?
Dean, next time I see you, you got to give me those letters because I got to frame those. I mean, I get tons of fan mail, but those may be the two best letters that I've ever received.
Oh, my God.
They certainly are. They just, I really think that I'd love to see another Madman Moretti promo.
Perhaps. Oh, I've never laughed so hard.
So,
he's done a couple promos. The one was just a close-up of his face, and he was yelling at Jake Bishop, and the other one was in the dark. I don't know what he was pissed off about, but apparently he didn't pay his electric bill that
month. Pay his electric bill, yes.
So, now, getting back to what we were talking about, I find it very funny, and this is all I'm going to say about it. Now, apparently, crap for face, Dan Cage, whatever, the guy who curses at a family show, whatever, he listens to the show. He knows the number, obviously.
Yes.
Mark No Dues Cruz listens to the show. And they can't call in. They would rather run their mouth, whatever, talk to other people. They can call in. But they block the show. So under Hell in a Cell Talk Radio on Twitter, I can't even see Crapperface's tweets. I am blocked from there. So it's just very odd to me, Robert.
I don't understand it myself. I mean, I'm blocked there also, but Kit does have his ways of getting the tweets out to me so I can still see what he says. But, I mean, like I said, when you have no defense for something, it's just easiest to sit there. And what's funny to me about the whole thing is when we were in the partnership, Dan was always telling us, guys, you're wasting your time with these promos on Facebook. You're just talking to yourselves. And, you know, wait till it really means something. People don't pay attention to your promos and the radio shows. Well, I think the fan mail episodes that I put up have made me one of either the most hated or most popular, but I'm certainly one of the most well-known guys in New Moon Rising Wrestling. And if nobody's listening to the radio shows and the promos, then why is he so scared of what I'm saying? If nobody's listening anyway, why is he begging people to tell me to stop? Because apparently, you know, whatever goes on in that guy's head, I don't know.
Look,
he has recently tweeted something to Jericho about Kevin Nash, saying something about wrestling being dead, and then he said congrats to Tommy Dreamer. He said to Chris Jericho, apparently Kevin Nash said something about wrestling died when Guerrero and Benoit were champs, and Jericho's response was something to the effect of, "If why did wrestling die when they were champs when WWE's worst year was 95? And Danny, crap for face, reply was to Jericho, which I'm sure Jericho read. I wish I could read Kev's response, but alas, he blocked me some time ago.
Well, that's his thing. I mean, his thing is he brags about, I was blocked by Kevin Nash and Bradshaw blocked me and this and that. These guys aren't blocking them because he's controversial. They're blocking him because he's annoying. I mean, I wouldn't want to sit there and read the garbage. And then the guy thinks that his Twitter friendships are real. Like Steve Austin, I guess, tweeted him once. And this guy thinks that him and Steve Austin are drinking buddies from way back.
Oh, wait,
but I got news for you.
Tweeted me once.
Steve
Austin.
Well, exactly. But Steve Austin is not walking around wearing a crap for face shirt. But David Hasselhoff is wearing a shirt that he got from the Knight Rider. So, I mean, maybe his Twitter friendships are fake. But I got some real ones myself. I got connections. I mean, I've been blessed by the real Michael Knight to go forth as the Knight Rider.
There you go. So NBC Universal, be damned.
Exactly.
That's what I say. That's what I say. So
we're showing them.
I just tweeted that you know all about that blocking.
Now, Robert, we got to move on. But again,
sure.
Another very controversial, blowing the roof off, if you will, of this whole. But New Moon Rising Wrestling. Going strong, right?
Going strong, and I can't wait till we kick things off. Like I said, we got Fan Appreciation Day. We got two shows a month coming up. You're going to see an influx of new talent. You're going to see the championships defended. You're going to see New Moon Rising Wrestling the way it was supposed to be, and it's coming very, very soon. NMRWrestling.com.
I love it. And, Robert, it's time for your catchphrase, as always.
Give it.
Well, the catchphrase is more than a catchphrase. It's a way of life. It's one man can make a difference.
Oh, my goodness. I couldn't have said it better. Now, Robert, you have a... We'll talk next week.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me again.
Absolutely.
So that was none other than Robert Knight.
Robert Knight equals ratings.
You know, you could make that... You can make that argument.
Well, I'm going to make that shirt.
Now, before I go any further, I do have the Roughneck. As always, it's... The Roughneck.
Hi, Roughneck.
What's up? Don't ever use what's on your mind, Robert.
I was hoping you were listening.
That's a shot, Dean.
I was hoping you were listening.
Oh, man.
I took it as a shot, but I'm glad to be back on Heel in the Cell Talk Radio.
No.
Okay, now, what is on your mind, Roughneck?
What's on my mind is, unfortunately, and I don't believe these words are going to come out of my mouth, Robert Knight made some valid points this evening.
Oh, okay. You want to elaborate on that, or is that enough for you?
Well, he's made some valid points on where New Moon Rising Wrestling is going. I don't know about anything else, but I'm telling you, he made some valid points. New Moon Rising Wrestling is coming back. It's coming back stronger than ever. Don't think this little hiatus is anything but getting ready to improve and blow the doors off our new building.
You know, and I heard you have quite the commentator lined up. Nothing official yet, but that's what I heard.
Is he the caliber of you, Dean?
I'm not saying a word.
I'm not that high up anywhere within this company to elaborate on something like that.
I'm just saying, I've heard rumors. I don't know.
I have heard rumors.
Okay,
and
so
it's not going to be New Moon Rising West Wing.
I hope not. I hope not. Because Mr. Saturday Night can, that's of course Blackie, but I don't know where I'm going. My mind is like in a thousand places. We got to move on, Roughneck. We got a packed show.
Oh, you enjoy yourself. It was a good, very good show so far. I enjoyed every minute of it, except for a few where Robert Knight was actually talking.
Well, there you go. But he did have a few good points, he said.
Yes, he did. He did, and I cannot, again, believe I'm saying that.
Well, Roughneck,
just
you are...
a guy on a dog's butt every now and then.
You are a man of the people and a man of irony.
We the people.
We the people! Thank you, Roughneck. You have a good night. I'll put you back on hold so you can listen in if you want.
All right.
Well, he was saying something. He's back on hold. I'm sorry. like I said, we got to move on.
Oh, God, what happened?
Because on hold, we have none other than the reigning ECWA Unified Tag Team Champions, three-time champions. Not only that, they are the Samoan Cup winners. Now, the last time we had them on, that was actually our pilot episode way back in April. They were going into the Samoan Cup. I believe it was April 18th, something of that nature. So a lot has happened since April, and my goodness, we're going to bring them on after their music, which is right here.
All residences are secure with all doors and windows firmly locked and barricaded.
Don't fret, precious, I'm here. Step away from the window. I'll go back to sleep. Safe from pain and truth and choice.
All right, now joining us, there's a little commotion going on. It's Jonathan, Damian Dragon,
woohoo,
and Matt Saigon.
Hi, I'm Matt.
Yes, it's none other than Fusion DS. Now, guys, a lot has happened since April.
Much has happened.
Let's talk about the Samoan Cup first, then we'll get into gaming. That's why you're really here.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see. What should we say? We shockingly won. The team that they didn't expect to win won.
Now, what was that moment like when you did, in fact, win it all?
I mean, I still to this day, I think Matt and I have mentioned it, just shocked. We were still both extremely shocked and definitely honored, you know, that we managed to pull out the win on the whole thing, considering, again, we were the underdog team that nobody really expected anything out of.
Now, you went there. You go to Allentown, kind of, like you said, under the radar. And I think it was the semifinals. You went against Black G's and Devin Moore. Now, getting by them, you had to think going into the finals, this is the moment.
Mm.
You there, Matt?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay, so talk, man. Jesus
yeah,
Christ.
Talk. We're going into the match, Black G's, Devin Moore, hell of competitors, wrestled them before. Props to both of those guys, especially G's. Tremendous guys, but we pulled out the win on them. And for me, it was shocking. I think you can probably see it on my face. Got to the finals, and it was just, I don't know, the fortune cookie just gave us good luck that night. Came
pretty much.
And guys, you were there, you witnessed it, you saw the shock on our faces, and I don't know, we were just honored and very humbled to be a part of it.
And
shocked. Hey, let's talk here.
Yeah,
partners. Well, yeah, we were shocked and amazed, and like I said, everybody could see it. That we were not the team that was supposed to win, but we ended up pulling it out, and it's quite a little tagline to have on your resume.
Exactly.
Now, also since then, you guys were in a Loser Leaves Town match against the Midnight Botchation, I mean Sensations. And, I'm sorry. It had to be said. It had to be said. Now, so against the Midnight Sensations, now, you won that match, and it was a very, what's the word I'm looking for, guys? That was like the defining moment so far in ECWA, wouldn't you say?
Oh, it was definitely a defining moment because it was a closing of that chapter. You know, I mean, we pretty much beat the hell out of each other for an entire year, literally from one month to the other, an exactly 12-month span, we beat the hell out of each other. And it got to the point where it's like, all right, enough's enough, and these two teams cannot coexist in the same locker room, in the same building, no matter where they go. So it's time to settle it once and for all. And we did that. We settled it for them. And that's the thing. A lot of people walked away upset about it. But let's not forget, they issued the challenge.
That is a very good point. Yeah, that is a very good point. Now, I forget where I was going with that. Dan, do you have anything right now? About anything.
So how you guys doing?
Oh, we're hanging.
When you guys, being the tag team champs, and I noticed this when you were carrying two belts around, what's traveling like having two belts like that?
Oh, it's horrible.
Cumbersome.
I wouldn't think it would add to traveling, but crying out loud, it certainly adds to the bags.
Oh, yeah, it does.
It double stuffs your luggage. And, like, I'm a light packer. I just want one wheelie. But my wheelie's not ready to explode because I have to have both belts. I love having both belts, but I was just like, can I just get one? It's unified. The ECWA belt is amazing to have, and I'd rather just have that than have both the TWA, because TWA, in my opinion, doesn't run anymore. But it does add to your back, unless you're like me who forgets his belt and has to drive to Allentown. back down to Delaware.
That was a fun day.
Oh yeah.
That was fun. I remember that day quite so well. That was a fun day.
Yeah.
Mark,
but anyway.
So yeah, the last time we chatted with you guys, we talked a little bit about video games, and I'm dying to know, did you guys get through Lego Batman or?
I finished it.
How was
I
it?
I finished.
Did you enjoy
yourself? It was cool. I mean, a couple little things here and there, but it was cool. I finished it. It was awesome. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Are you going to move on to another Lego franchise? Maybe Lego Indiana Jones or?
I feel all game franchises need to move into Lego. I mean, I would totally buy into a WWE Lego game. Like, you powerbomb the guy for the finish, he explodes. You GTS him, his head pops off. It'd be great.
Actually, yeah. You've really
won
me over.
That would be pretty good, actually. Yeah.
I'd like a Lego Assassin's Creed myself.
That'd be awesome.
Actually, that sounds adorable as well. Nothing like stabbing someone in the head, your yellow head, and watching it pop on.
It'd be great.
Are you guys into the shoot 'em games too, like Battlefield and Call of Duty?
Oh, Call of Duty's match I got.
There you go.
Modern Warfare 3.
Okay. Yeah, Matt's the military man.
That's military man.
Well, I like that you guys beat that. I was dying to know. I was wondering if you got through it.
It was certainly haunting, Mark, to know the answer to that.
I do have a question. Do you guys actually buy the wrestling games and do you play them, or do you kind of stay away from them?
The last one, my brother-in-law gave it to me. He just gave up on it. He's like, hey, you can have it. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, all right, cool.
Do you create yourself?
Oh, yeah, I could do create a character for, like, hours. And then my oldest son is like, oh, make this guy, make this guy, make that guy, make that guy. And I'm like, okay, no problem, I could do that.
Perhaps one of the easiest to make is Breaker Morant.
I'm sorry.
What am I doing tonight?
How do you put that the burn marks on his face, though?
Now, here's what aggravates me. I said the same joke, but I was overpowered by Mark's voice. That's bullcrap.
It happens a lot to us, Dan. Now you know how it feels. Now, moving on. You have a challenge coming up on the 15th. I know we're skipping around here, but the 15th, the anniversary show. Sons of Blackheart. How do you feel about that?
Go ahead, Matt. You go first.
Okay. I did a little promo. You guys shot it. We kind of aired it. And people said, hey, Matt, you look like you don't take this seriously. Yeah, why should I take this seriously? Who are they? Am I correct? Like, we just beat Bandito and Az. We just beat the Sloppy Joes. And we're the Sons of Blackheart. I did not see them ranked in PWI. I've never heard of them. You know, as far as I'm concerned, they're just a couple of guys wearing a lot of black leotards. But, like, all of their number one contenders, who did they beat? Why are they facing us? I'm kind of confused. For me, I'm just going to take them in the face and knock their teeth out, hopefully. And that's it. The 45th anniversary, and we got the Sons of Blackheart. I'm thinking, you know, maybe we should have wrestled the Logans or the Flatliners for, like, the quote-unquote rubber matches of them. Or something along those lines. But the Sons of Blackheart...
Exactly, like basically, exactly.
I'm going to do tie up, tackle, drop down, hip toss, arm drag, kick to the groin, we go home DQ, still champions.
I mean, you know, he, Matt and I are on the same page on that. It's like, all right, who are these guys? You know, we have no problems facing anybody, but we're talking about the 45th anniversary show. This is the big one, the big granddaddy, you know, and these guys are coming in as virtual unknowns. And I mean, like I had mentioned a while ago, you know, Gangrel and I go way back, and I was tempted to shoot him an email and say what was the deal on that, but I was like, you know what, let's see what Joel Blowhart, I mean Goodheart, has up his sleeve with this thing. But in the same token, like Matt said, you know, people wanted to see us face the Logans. I mean, we've been dying to face them guys. You know, Flatliners and us, you know, let's have the rubber match. Let's do that. I mean, there's a lot of teams out there, whether they're in ECWA full-time, part-time, or not, that have deemed themselves as worthy contenders. But now we have a virtual unknown. And again, does that bother us? No, not in the least, because we're always up for the challenge. But in the same token, it's the 45th anniversary show. What have you done to garner that spot on such a grand show to come and face us? So, you know, and on top of that, you know, again, now Joel wants to try to jump into our backyard and everything like that. And, you know, Jay-Z, Joe Zanoli, tried to get Papa Don to get his back on his Blackheart situation. That kind of blew up in his face. And everybody else he's tried is kind of blown up in his face. So now he hasn't turned to us, but Joel has turned his attention to us. And he's jumping on the wrong bull. That's all I'm saying. Because we don't have
a disrespect.
Exactly. I mean, we don't have allegiances to anybody but ourselves and the true believers. We're in this to win and to prove that we're the best, period. Doesn't matter what side you stand on. If you're on our side, fine. If you're not, then you're just in the way.
Very well said. Mark, go ahead.
So you guys talked about feeling a little disrespected by getting a team that's never really wrestled before. Don't you feel like that's a trend just even in tag team wrestling? Like, don't you feel like that you guys really bring something to the table and it kind of gets overlooked because tag team wrestling is just, like, sometimes an afterthought?
Yeah.
A little bit, but, you know, in ECWA, I think, you know, granted, we don't like the Midnight Sensations, but, I mean, I think our feud definitely put tag team wrestling a little bit back on the map in terms of the Northeast and definitely in the ECWA. The two top subjects in the ECWA are generally usually whatever the Greek God is doing, and the other end of it is what's going on in the tag team division, and that usually 9.9 times out of 10 revolves around whoever we're facing next. So we got to be doing something right.
I mean, the ECWA, the tag teams, I love the division. You know, they instrumented the K-Cup last year, which brought some phenomenal tag teams. And me and Damian are looking like still to put some honor back in the tag team wrestling because we will all agree, everybody, every show we watch on TV, tag team divisions have been slacking. When I was a kid, tag teams were the best.
Exactly.
Everybody matched gear. They were in sync. You know, it gave a new flavor to professional wrestling in tag teams, and you really want to watch that. And the stories were so dramatic. But and I love being ECWA because, like you said, we had like Bandito and Azrael. We had the Midnight Sensations, kind of knock on them, great tag team. The Slot Hunters and just, you know, the Flatliners, the Logan, just all these great teams, all these great teams. The only thing about, like, this is our 45th anniversary show. It's basically our WrestleMania. Going in, you want your WrestleMania moment. Do you think we're going to have that? It's kind of like, you know, you want to see The Rock versus John Cena, not John Cena versus Sam Peretta, no disrespect to him. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Now, you talked a little about WWE. Is there a team like in TNA, WWE, even like on the independents that's like a West Coast tag team that you've seen or something? Like, who's the team that...
I can answer that for Damian. He wants the Briscoes.
That people know.
Exactly. Briscoes has been on the top of my list for the longest time. I know them since very young and early in their career. We're great friends with them. But in the same token, I would love to get in the ring and test our abilities with them. The D-Line is another one. You know, somewhere, somehow, we'd love to face them. We've gotten a chance to share a locker room with them in Ring of Honor, really got to talk to them, and they're really cool, down-to-earth guys. But at the end of the day, you know, we've all four of us have said it. You know, we would love to get in the ring and let it hang loose, and let's see how it goes. In terms of a West Coast team, I mean, you know, there's always the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks are freaking awesome right now, so I wouldn't mind, you know, checking them out, you know, standing across the ring from them. I mean, there's a couple of teams out there, you know, but in terms of, like, our end of the, on this side, you know, definitely the Briscoes are top of the list, D-Line's top of the list. You know, we want to get back in there with the Flatliners, you know, with no tournament in the background, no three-way dance. We would love to just have a straight-up match with them guys because, you know, despite everything starting in terms of controversy with them, we respect the hell out of those guys. You know, and that's another team we want to get in there with, you know. We want to be pushed. We want to be challenged. That's how it goes, you know. And the way to do that is to face people that are possibly a little bit tougher than you are or a little bigger or whatever the case may be. That's how we'd get better, you know. Matt and I are not resting on our laurels. We're always looking to get better and improve every single match. And hopefully we've shown that every single match that we've had, that we bring something new every time. We push a little harder, and regardless of how tough the challenge is, I mean, Bandito Jr. And Azrael, they brought it. I mean, and that was a tooth and nail, you know, to the very end, and the Slop Hunters brought it as well. You know, they haven't been easy victories, but they've pushed us continuously to another level, and that's what we're looking at. I mean, another team that's lesser known is a team that we're actually facing in September in another promotion called Team Powerhouse. You know, that's another team we're totally looking forward to face. So, you know, we're just looking forward to the next challenge.
But for me personally, a mainstream tag team, What I think is very underrated and pay homage to the Wild Samoans would be Us Against the Usos.
Oh, absolutely. Ooh. Absolutely. I would love that one.
That's a good
I think
one,
the
yeah.
Usos are one of the most underrated tag teams because, for me, they are a tag team. They,
exactly.
They, tag team, they were always a tag team. They look great as a tag team. I mean, it's not like Kingston and R-Truth. You just put two guys together to make a tag team. The Usos are a tag team. And on a grand stage, that would be, and to pay homage for us being the Samoan Cup champions and them being bred Wild Samoans, that would be an awesome match for us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that definitely would be. Now, are there any more plans for WXW shows in the future?
The offer was put on the table for us. It's just a matter of our scheduling. Because we did talk to Samu at the sports fest, and he's like, we're always welcome back if our schedule allows for it. So you never know where we may pop up.
That's definitely exciting. I really like what WXW does up there. Now, moving on, we talked about the Black Hearts. Now, the K-Cup, you're back in it this year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are your thoughts on this year's K-Cup?
I don't know. You want to field this one, Mr. Controversy?
Number one, it's not going to go down like last year. For me, I'm not going to Montreal, if you catch my drift.
Exactly.
I don't know what Joe has up his sleeve. Like, it's a tournament. Don't get involved. Let it run smoothly. Let true tag team wrestling without controversy get in the way. And may the best team, no matter who it is, us or anybody else that is in the tournament, prevail and pay homage to what I believe is one of the best things in wrestling and as a tag team division.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you have your sights on that big K-Cup. Take it away from the Midnight. Another thing you can take away from the Midnight Sensations.
Absolutely.
I would certainly love to see that. Now, Ring of Honor, what's going on there? Do you have anything else for us on that front?
Right now, everything is kind of just as it goes. I mean, there's nothing like, you know, official or anything like that. You know, I know I've been, you know, Matt and I have been asked. It's pretty much as it goes right now. We had, we worked Dark Match 2 months ago. The previous month, we had the World's Greatest Tag Team. This past taping, we were in attendance, but we didn't wrestle. But again, you know, they got to check everybody out, and that's the way it goes. So it's just, you know, it's a step-by-step process. You know, we're there, we're on the radar, you know, just keep trying, as they say, you know. I mean, they got some great teams there other than the Briscoes that we had mentioned, too, that we would love to get in the ring. I mean, pretty much I think Matt would agree, like, just about every team they have in there we wouldn't mind getting in the ring with.
Absolutely when not. I would love it.
Now, when you guys are getting at a CCW show, or for instance, a company like CCW Ring of Honor compared to ECWA, do you get nervous knowing that it's going out on TV and there's a chance that much more people will see it, or is it just another day at the office?
For me personally, I mean, even as long as, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's ECWA or Ring of Honor, the same nerves still go. And Matt will tell you, he stands, you know, he's right there behind the curtain with me. The nerves get going and everything like that, and then the music hits, and I'm ready to go and all business. But up until the moment I walk out of that curtain, oh, forget about it. I'm still a ball of nerves as if it was my first match all over again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. No matter what curtain you're walking through, no matter under whose promotion, whatever three letters you're under, you're always going to get those nerves walking in. You're zoned into the match. You just got to have those nerves regardless. TNA, ROH, ECWA, anything. Anything, you have those nerves. And they say, the day you don't have those nerves is the day you hang up the boots.
Exactly. Like, and that was exactly what I saw Road Warrior Animal said that in an interview, I think about 2-3 years ago. He said that. He goes, if you're not nervous, no matter how long you've been in this business, if you're not nervous behind that curtain getting ready to walk out there, it's time for you to walk away.
Oh, wow.
And that's from Road Warrior Animal.
I'm
always nervous right before our music hits. I'll turn to D and be like, yo, bro, I don't know what to do, man.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, exactly. So, you know, we're there kind of coaching each other through up until the moment we walk out the curtain. And, you know, once we go out the curtain, it's game on.
So you talked about, like, immediately before the curtain, But can you give us a little, like, locker room? Like, do you have, like, a weirdo pre-match tradition? Like, do you have, like, a, you know, like, baseball players have weirdo things that they do before they go out and pitch? What's your gimmick before there?
I think us is like, really not so much a weirdo thing. I think it's about 5 minutes, too. It just, him and I get very quiet. Like, we don't even, like, we'll talk to each other for, like, 30 seconds probably before we walk through the curtain. But before that, there's, like, a five-minute, it's just silence. There's no talking. It's a lot of pacing and kind of just mulling things over in your own head. It's, that's pretty much it. There's not really much of a weirdo thing before that. I mean, you know, I tend to brush my teeth before going to the matches. That's about it. I get ragged on a lot, but I brush my teeth before I go to the ring. So I guess you could say that.
Smoke cigarettes. It's nasty. But we go quiet up until we're about ready to go through the curtain. But for me, I kind of drop to a knee and I tell myself I live for this and I'll die for this because this is what I love. And then it kind of like puts me in the zone. Okay, this is my time to shine. This is what I love to do. You know, I've always wanted to do this since I was a little kid, and now I have the honor of doing it and performing in front of fans, and you know, we were in the ring with Hoss and Benjamin. We were on Ring of Honor TV, and so it was kind of like getting into, say, single-A baseball. You know, you can feel that you're making a difference. You're getting looked at, and it's just something special. You know, you're moving up the ranks, as it were.
Exactly.
Okay, now guys, we're going to move on because we're running out of time here. But I'm sorry, I do apologize. But you certainly are friends of the show. I do want to say that again. We're going to get you back on because the friends we bring back, bring back the friends. So, is there a place that the fans listening can follow either both of you or separately or whatever?
Absolutely. Go ahead. Well, Matt Saigon's Twitter is
Saigon X Special,
and mine is that's on Twitter. Mine is STB Damien Dragon. You could also check out our matches, promos, and all other sorts of goofy ridiculousness that we do that you guys bore witness to at youtube.com/ dvargas802, and of course there's the Facebook page, facebook.com/ Damien Dragon Wrestling, for all your Fusion DS needs and more.
I love it, guys. You guys are certainly entertaining. Can't wait for the anniversary show. Take care of those Sons of Blackhearts for us.
Absolutely.
Okay, and once again, thanks for coming on, and we'll talk soon.
Later, guys.
Bye, good night. That's my bedtime.
Okay, so that was Fusion DS, everyone. There we go. So that was Fusion DS, the reigning tag team champions of ECWA. Now, Dan, how did you feel about that one?
Those are two of my favorite guys that I've ever met. They're really fun. And when you ask to a question, you're not really sure if it's going to go left or right. So that's one of my favorite interviews. I talked to those guys for hours. As that post-match interview showed, we could go for minutes and make 2 minutes out of like 10.
Yeah. That is one thing about them. They are certainly... Now, Mark, how do you feel about Fusion DS?
Their shoulders.
They're awesome. I was really privileged to see them wrestle for the first time at the War Games show. Just had a blast with them. And, you know, for them to be quiet before a match, really out of character for them, I thought that was pretty interesting. So,
you never know what you'll learn on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. Now, I do have a caller, and I'm not sure who it is, so I'm going to bring them on right now. You never know. Like I said, now, let's see. There we go. Now, caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hello? See?
Yeah. Oh, I believe this is El Taco Grande.
See,
there
you go. How
you
doing, amigos?
Now, El Taco Grande was, of course, in action this past Saturday at the UWF show, the Return of the Madman.
See.
So,
Boy Grande. Grande man.
Now, El Taco Grande, what was your experience getting in there with that dastardly, actually he wasn't dastardly, you were the dastardly one, but with getting in there with Dark Angel Slayer?
Oh, no bueno, no bueno.
Oh, I certainly do love it. Now, El Taco Grande, is there anything else you want to say to your fans?
Ole! El Grande Taco, number one!
Now, that was El Taco Grande.
What the hell?
I'm also going to bring on Big Berg right now.
What?
Yeah, here he comes. I believe he's ready to come on.
Yes, actually I am. Oh, thank goodness.
All right.
Actually, people with actual talent.
All right, yes. You were listening in to a certain corral on Blog Talk Radio. Now, how was that, my friend?
Only one word can describe that, and the word is garbage.
Well, there you go. Now, speaking of garbage, UWF show started out quite well. We had now I'm actually going to bring on Mark Angel as well. He was actually at the show. Now, Mark, are you there?
Yo, what's up, guys?
All right, it's Mark Angel. Now, Mark Angel was involved. He was tagging with Drew Blood. So it was Mark Angel and Drew Blood against the Gunners. Now, Mark, what was your experience in that match?
Well, first I was forced to tag with Drew Blood. Wasn't exactly thrilled with it, but and we did come up with the loss. It was a hell of a match, I believe. You know, I super kicked Ty, and, you know, Blackie, as little as he is, you don't really realize he's in the ring half the time, and there he goes with a double stomp, you know, and, well, the rest is history.
The rest was history. You did come out with the loss, but then again, I mean, you're against a very experienced tag team in the Gunners. That is, of course, Ty Reno and King Blackie. So
yeah,
I thought it was
really
a very good
match. It didn't help that me and Drew Blood aren't really, we don't really get along, and we're not used to tagging regardless. So, you know how that goes.
Now, of course, you're speaking of, you guys have a bit of a beef right now in DWF.
Yeah, you know, Loudy thinks he's funny and wants to bring Drew in and attack me from behind after, you know, successfully defending my Cruiserweight title in the main event of the last DWF show against Blackie and LJ Cruz. And, yeah, you know, Drew Blood's sticking his nose where it doesn't belong.
So, of course, that's at the DWF show, the main event, which you were victorious in, over King Blackie, and goodness gracious, I forget the third participant. Who was it?
So Fly, LJ Cruz.
How could I forget?
To show up.
Yeah, how could I forget him? Maybe it's because it was the first time he showed up in 3 months, so maybe that was why. So, anyway, Mark, just hang back. I'm going to, when we get to the main event, we'll talk with you once again. Now, Ryan, you're there,
yeah.
Right?
I'm here.
Okay, now, Ryan, the UWF show, a few highlights, of course, was the opening match. And, of course, Sienna Duvall took on Gabby Gilbert. Now, what did you think about that match?
I have to say, I sorry for the fact that I think Sienna is one of the best women's wrestlers around today. I think Gabby impressed me. I think we saw her, one time before, if I remember right?
Yeah, one time before.
And, you know, it was an okay match, but I was very impressed with her showing at UWF. Very impressed.
So, Sienna Duvall was
little
of course... Yeah, she was victorious.
She's got a little head. It's not backwards.
There you go. But she was victorious. So that was 2-0 for the Empire at the UWF show. Now, there was, of course, another surprise match in which we saw El Taco Grande, who called in quite the surprise, taking on Dark Angel Slayer. Now, how did you feel about that one? Were you impressed, as I was, with El Taco Grande?
Even in the losing effort, I was very impressed. I mean, Slayer beat him up pretty badly, but, you know, I think as he just said a few minutes ago, Ole! You know, he stole
that
tagline from somebody else, but that's okay.
Yeah, but I was very impressed. He did come out on the losing end of things. Now, the rest of the show, I can't say too many good things about. Of course, the main event was Madman Moose Moretti making his return against Balls Mahoney.
Hold on. I have to stop you there, Dean. I apologize, but I wouldn't even call that a return. That was too sad to be considered a return. To me, a return means you actually are coming valiantly back. That was too pathetic.
That you're missed. Yes. So Madman Mussoretti makes his return against Balls Mahoney and Tony Hightower, I believe his name was. It was a hardcore match. Now, Mark, from a wrestler's perspective, how did you feel watching that? I did see you out in the crowd taking notes. So what did you think of that one? And I know you have to be diplomatic, so how did you feel about it?
It was different. Balls really took it to Madman, and, you know, I think his name was Tony Hightower. I'm not exactly sure the other guy's name. Balls took it to him. I mean, Madman stuck with the win. I don't know.
Yeah, so now, Ryan, you don't have to be diplomatic. How did you feel about it?
Let me put it to you this way. That was a suck fest of suckiness. Madman stumbled. I wonder if Madman could even stand up straight. I mean, every time I looked around, he was stumbling around. His attempt to get in the ring was just, I can't even say anything bad. That's how pathetic that was. I feel like I'd be insulting myself at this point to say something bad about somebody who obviously needs so much help.
He needs perhaps a trip to an AA meeting would be helpful.
I think he's going to need a lot more than one trip.
Now, okay, so overall, what was your impression of UWF? Now, again, I thought the opening tag match was very good, and apparently they need to work. I don't know. They need to better
yeah.
workers.
Apparently
but,
we all need to learn how to work.
That's a shoot, my friend. Now,
yeah. wait, this is coming from a guy who nobody knew who he was in the locker room, but, you know, we'll let that slide.
Now, besides that tag team match, the women's match, and the El Taco Grande surprise, as I call it, what did you think of the show?
I would have to say confusing. I think that's a good word to describe it, because a couple of those matches, you were just kind of wondering what is going on right now, especially the one hardcore match where I guess they shared the belt or something. I don't know. They took the one belt for the one match, cleaned it, was another one. I don't know. That was pretty... That was rough. That was confusing.
There was a lot confusing. You know, you never know. We try out different promotions. We see what sticks. So
as sad as it was, I had a lot of fun. I know you did too. You had a lot of fun. Let's just put it that.
Well, I think
saving the alcohol that helped you out a little bit, but I don't have.
I was about to say the fact that the screwdrivers were $3 a pop. 16 ounces. That probably had a little bit to do with it.
Wait, where was the show? see what I did there?
It was actually in Ferris Hills, Pennsylvania, the return of the Madman. So, Mark, I want to thank you for coming out. Do you have now, where can people follow you?
Follow me on Facebook at MarkAngel24, Mark with a C. Twitter, same thing, MarkAngel24. I have Tout, Social Cam, Instagram. It's all MarkAngel24. That's pretty much, you know, you get all the information you need from me right there. Bam.
There you go. Ryan, thanks for coming on for yet another analysis, if you will.
Yep, no problem. Where are we hitting up this weekend? Are we doing anything?
Hey.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah,
let me throw one thing in there.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah,
you gotta have El Taco Grande back on.
You know what, El Taco Grande, I do believe he is a fast up and comer. You don't see gimmicks like that too often.
No, you don't.
That was definitely an interesting interview you guys just had with that guy. I couldn't stop laughing. I'm like, what is he talking about?
Yeah. So El Taco Grande, we will get on, and Mark, we'll get you back on for a proper interview because a lot's happened.
Oh.
Yeah, a lot's happened since May. It's been since May since we had you on, so a lot's happened.
Wow.
Yeah, so we'll definitely talk off air. But
awesome.
Thanks, both of you. And Ryan, I'll put you back on hold. Mark, it's up to you if you want to go on hold or not.
Yeah, phone's about to die, so I'm going to actually get off, but I'll talk to you guys a little bit later.
Okay,
thanks for having
good. Oh, no problem. Thanks for calling in.
No problem. See you guys later.
Okay, and I'll put you on hold, and there we go. So Ryan's on hold, and let's see, we're going to
do this here, and whoops, oh my. I just made a terrible error. Ryan accidentally got hung up on, and he can't call back in.
I was going to say, did someone just sign off AOL? What just happened? I heard a door close.
Goodbye.
Yeah, yeah. But now, switching gears again, we got Omega Squad, who's been with us for quite some time. Now, Omega, how are you doing tonight?
I continue to be appalled by lack of professionalism on this Ricky Dink podcast.
Now, yes, you
hey,
are.
Hey, Ricky Dink. You.
Yeah, I agree with Omega. I've been appalled all night.
I'm trying to figure out a way to follow El Taco Grande.
El Taco Grande, it was supposed to be El Hombre Loco, I believe, but El Taco Grande showed up instead. One of the amazing things that happened at that UWF show. Now,
I'm still not sure what the heck is going on.
You know what? Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. It's growth. It's exciting because you never know.
Olé!
What is going to happen on this show?
We've got serious reach now.
We do. We have the
Spanish demographic with El Taco Grande.
That's for sure. But anyway, my train of thought tonight. Now, USC on Fox 4, I believe it was. What was your impression overall, Omega?
Well, I think it was a much better card than they've had on the previous Fox show. I continue to really, really hate the NFL like presentation to do with it. I mean, it's just the robots in the cage. I just can't deal with. But and the NFL music. But you know, that's really just cosmetic. I mean, the video packages were well done. And the fights were, for the most part, very good.
Yes, they were. Now, let's talk about the return of Mike Swick. Now, how impressive was that knockout?
That was just a thing of beauty. You know, he knew exactly where to put his hand after that trip. You know, grabs the missed leg kick, trips him, and goes down to the ground with him, one-punch knockout as he goes down. Just well-placed, perfect. Perfectly timed. I don't think he looked, 100%, but that's to be expected from a guy who's been out for 2.5 years. He looked like he was shaking off the ring rust for a while there. He did get, I think he got kind of beat in that first round.
Yeah.
But he was, he looked good for, like I said, coming off of over 2 years of inactivity. You gotta like that. I think, I'd like to see him get a couple more fights before I make a real judgment on whether or not he's back or not.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say because, especially with 2.5 years off, it could have been just a lucky shot, whatever it was. But now Jamie Varner losing against Joe Lauzon. The only thing I can say about Lauzon is he is really a pit bull once he figures out what he wants to do with you. And that rear naked choke that he put on was very impressive.
Yeah, I think that whole fight, it got fight of the night. It was a great fight. It was impressive by both guys, I thought.
Yeah.
Lauzon will always bring it. Varner has been questionable whether he could bring it. But in his last two fights, the one versus Barboza was obviously a spectacular knockout. And this one was, even though he lost, he acquitted himself very well, had very good striking through the whole thing, did use his wrestling to some extent, although he got reversed a couple times by Lauzon. I thought both guys put up a hell of a fight. And, I don't think Varner is diminished by this loss. I don't think Lauzon goes up a little bit, but I don't think he's contender right now because he's kind of inconsistent, just his style of fighting, just to go for it, depending on what his mood is, if he wants to go to the ground and wants to fight, leaves him open to the flash knockout. But I thought it was a great fight. I mean, that obviously at one fight a night, I did agree that was the best fight of the night.
Definitely, definitely. I think both fighters really can be a force in the division.
Yeah, I think you're looking at that the notch below the upper tier there, you know, the upper mid card, if you will. But, I mean, they're always going to be entertaining. I mean, Joe Lozon now, right now, has the record for the most most end of the night bonuses. So you gotta like that. And Dana is always gonna keep around guys that are gonna come to fight.
Yeah, that's for sure. Like a guy like Dan Hardy, for example, is a perfect example of that. Now, moving on to the co-main event, it was Lyoto Machida taking on Ryan Bader. Machida wins with the KO, I believe, second round. Very impressively, because it showed Machida is back being that elusive character. Well, he's always been. And I even said to you previously on the show that I thought he won the first round against John Jones when he had the title fight. I think if he really works his strategy, he can be the next... He can be the guy that beats John Jones because, I mean, John Jones did adapt, but if he can really work that elusiveness, he can be that guy. And, of course, it's just look how quick it happened to Bader. I mean, Bader's coming in, boom, knockout. So how do you feel about all that? Because I just put out a lot of information.
Well, let's just start with the knockout. I think that was a thing of beauty, too. I mean, that was just, you know, right, beautiful timing, the type of timing we always see from Machida as a counter striker. Taking advantage of his opponent's mistakes, in this case, Bader, losing patience and rushing in and just getting caught. And props to Machida, he puts it right where he needed it to be. And, you know, that was it. At quick end of night, didn't even look winded. The entire fight, Bader could do nothing against Machida. Could not land anything of significance, could not close the distance. And Machida was just backing him, keeping him back, and, you know, not letting him get any kind of rhythm going. That is the type of style that, to your point, since we now know that Machida will be the next one to fight either John Jones or Dan Henderson.
John Jones.
Yeah, well, I agree, but we've talked about that before. But, I think... Does Machida definitely has the best chance of the four guys that were in it in this little mini tournament, if you will.
Yeah.
He's definitely going to have to use his elusiveness, and what he's going to have to do, the thing that Bader couldn't do that John Jones can do is close the distance, and that's just because of John Jones' reach. Machida's advantage of being able to keep that distance and keep that range is going to be mitigated by just the sheer length of John Jones' arms and legs. And that was kind of apparent in the fight, in the first fight. And, you know, John Jones is a better fighter than all these guys.
Yeah.
And he's going to take advantage of Machida's seeming inability to block with his non-punching hand. His counter-punching is great, and he gets by on that with so many guys that, you know, there was a looping right hand as Machida was counter-attacking that took him down in the first fight.
Yeah.
So what we did not see out of this fight is anything new. You know, Machida was his old self. He was the dragon. He was that elusive counter-striker.
Yeah.
That we didn't see anything... like a new strategy to take to a John Jones title fight.
Well, but then again, do you really need it with a guy like Bader?
Certainly not. Obviously, you didn't, because, I mean, second round, bam, done. You know, you didn't need it with a guy like Bader.
You didn't need it with a Couture. You didn't need it. You really only need to change your strategy, and maybe he learned that first fight with John Jones. So
I did see an article on Bloody Elbow that did kind of say that he looked like he was working on it. The question is, has he had enough fights to come up with a better strategy or work on the weaknesses that he showed in the first John Jones fight? That's a good question. I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Now, my strategy would be chop down those legs, but that's me. It was you could see, I think it was Forrest Griffin against Quentin Jackson, how effective that strategy can be, because that's all really Forrest Griffin did, and by the end of that fight, Jackson could barely move.
Yeah, I just don't know if you're going to be able to get away with that with a guy like Jones, because he'll just come out of range, and his legs are going to be longer than yours. You know, you saw Machida come in under 205. He came in at 201. He could probably drop down to 185. He's going to be giving up quite a bit of size.
Yeah.
That works as long as you can keep the distance and you can hit the legs. If Jones has to do is back up and not let you hit him.
I'd agree. Now, the main event. Some say it was a great showing for Brandon Vera. Some say, why is he so happy for losing? Hua defeats him with third round knockout?
It was a fourth round knockout.
So a fourth round knockout. Both guys terribly gassed. Both guys really didn't, frankly to me, show much. How do you see it?
Yeah, I kind of agree. I didn't really see much of anything out of that. I mean, I saw Brandon Vera looking determined. I saw him trying to win the fight. But I didn't see him bringing a lot to the table. You know, we've talked about, people have talked about Brandon Vera's potential for years.
Mm-hmm.
And he just doesn't seem to be able to live up to it. What I saw in that fight doesn't lead me to believe that he's anything to be get excited about. Now, is he a UFC caliber fighter? Well, he just lasted with Shogun for four rounds. Yeah, I think you can safely say he's a UFC caliber fighter. But it isn't that big a deal to me. I don't see a lot of upside to Vera. I mean, I thought he fought a good fight. He kept going, but you know, both guys gassed. Shogun looked horrible, I thought.
Yeah,
Shogun was just a specter of his old self. Certainly not the guys we've seen. Certainly not what we've seen in Pride. Certainly not what we've seen in previous UFC fights when he was a champion.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, I don't want to say it wasn't a boring fight. It just wasn't that good, I thought. But it didn't mar the overall card. But it came down to between those two fights, between Machida, Bader, and Shogun, Vera, the mm-hmm. right guy's getting the title shot.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Now, one last thing I want to bring up. We have UFC 150. We have UFC 151. But what do we have this weekend? I believe it's this weekend.
It's UFC 150 this weekend.
Oh. Okay, UFC 150 then. I thought it was, when is the women's fight?
That would be next week.
Okay, so there's a lot of MMA in August. Now, UFC 150 main event is Benson Henderson, taking on Frankie Edgar. Who do you see? I want the prediction.
I think this is going to go to a decision again, but I think it's going to be kind of a repeat of the first fight. I think Henderson's going to outlast him with his athleticism. I think Frank is going to put on a good show and be a game fighter, but I think that Henderson's just going to get the better of him with his speed and athleticism.
Okay. So there you have it, the prediction from Omega Squad. Now, Omega, you feel free to hang around because we're going to go and move into wrestling now. Now, Dan, you wanted to bring something up.
Yeah, something very interesting, and I really don't know, you know, I really don't know, like, should I be mad, or should I not give a damn? Kevin Nash was quoted in an interview, I guess, yesterday, on a website that I was going to name, but the heck with him, and he was talking about just, you know, his acting career, his life at the moment and in the business of professional wrestling. And one of the quotes he said was, when Benoit and Guerrero hugged, that was the end of the business. Has business been the same since that WrestleMania? Has it come close to the Austin era? Has it come close to the NWO or the Hogan era? You put two effing guys that were great workers that were the same height as the effing referees, and I'm sorry, man.
Now, do you have the rest of that quote where he was comparing it to a porno?
No, I don't.
He was basically he was comparing it to a promo. Would you watch a promo if the guy had a 3-inch?
Yeah, right.
And
exactly.
it's like I don't know about you, and I read this on Camel Clutch blog.
It was on, yeah, I'm on Grantland.com. I don't know what that...
Well, I was reading like a rebuttal to it.
Yeah.
But I don't know about you, but I don't watch a porno to see, to look at the guys, so I don't care what their junk is.
Well.
Quite frankly. I don't care if they have a 3-inch or, a 12-inch, but whatever, that's neither here nor there.
Right.
But the point of the whole thing was this... The guy, 1995, Kevin Nash was your WWF, your then WWF champion. And
he got back in 8 seconds.
And it was the worst year of business the WWF ever had at that time.
Period.
Bar none. So for him to say this, frankly, I feel the death was after that when they rushed Benoit's... I can keep it separate. His career, what he did after. So they rushed.
Exactly.
They rushed his reign. He had it from that April to that August, and then they put the belt on Randy Orton. It didn't work out. So then they put it back on Triple H, and of course, then they went. I forget where they went after that because there's so many title changes now. But I would say after. Oh, it was Batista the following WrestleMania. And then, of course, Cena won it from JBL at the following WrestleMania. But the whole thing is, the death of wrestling, I think rumors of its death have been, exaggerated. Wrestling's not dead. It's in one of its periods. If you look through historically, you have the boom era, 1984, Hulkamania, all that stuff. Then you had the Attitude Era, which was another swim. You have all these different... peaks and valleys, and right now it's in a valley. So calm down, Kevin Nash. But then
I don't understand. No, I just don't understand why. There's two things. Why did he pick those two? Like, why does he feel? Because they were shorter.
I'll tell you. Go ahead, Omega.
Well, yeah, it's because he's 7 foot tall and they're 5'8", 5'9", whatever they were.
Yeah.
That's all it is. This is the tall, big guy who thinks that he should be the top of the world, trying to find point to this the end of wrestling because these two small guys were champions at the time.
Ridiculous. Not only that, the other thing that bothers me about it is he's attacking one guy who, of course, had that terrible tragedy, killed his wife, killed his son. Obviously, people aren't going to come to his defense, even though I just did. And then you have Eddie Guerrero, who, of course, has passed on. So you have two guys that can't defend themselves, and one guy that fans won't even defend, really. Jericho will, but...
No, apparently there are people that are... I see more people slamming Nash for saying what he said about Guerrero and Benoit than they are defending him.
And here's the other thing. I think Happy Troll is very happy right now.
Happy Troll is very happy. I just don't understand. Like, I don't care. Like, okay, that's great. But, the only other time you were world champion is when you were booking the show.
He was probably responsible in some ways for the death of WCW. So that...
Yes.
You want to talk about the death of wrestling, the death of competition.
Is exactly where I was going with this. Thank you very much.
I got you there. See?
No. I'm glad you did that. But like I said, I mean, they gave him the belt in WWF. He leaves, goes to WCW. 2 years later, again, the only time he wins the championship. First of all, you ended the streak to Goldberg, which it was still getting ratings. They were. Why would you? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Number one. Number two, you're booking the show. Well, look, I'm world champ now. Hey. And you guys, single-handedly, the finger poke of doom, you guys had a fantastic episode. Well, you had a great episode that night. You guys had Nash, Nash Hogan 2, a match people wanted to see at the time, and you screwed it up. You booked that.
And of course,
You did it, Nash.
And, of course, that was also the night that Tony Schiavone made his
That'll put butts in the seat.
Exactly. The butts in the seat comment. Now, Mark, we haven't heard much from you. What do you think about Kevin Nash?
Once again, it's one of those, it's like you're an old guy that, like, is bitter that there's been wrestling since you wrestled. Seriously, though, like, I hate to be a jerk about it, but, like, there's a lot of these wrestlers that float around that get, like, jaded after they leave the wrestling world, and they're like, oh, back in my day, get off my lawn, kids. It's like, dude, we get it. All right, you wrestled, and yeah, okay, he was involved in, actually, at some point, he was involved in some really good storylines. And I don't know what you're thinking. No, just that I really love the Outsiders, man.
Sure. I did too.
Came into WCW, that was sweet. Because here's two guys that you knew in another company. You're like, what are you doing here? So it was good. It was, like, entertaining. And then, just a mess.
Very political.
It goes right back to that episode. After that episode, it was like, well, nobody's going to buy your Nitro Bowl crap. I mean, you're just going to... time to form the NWO. Ratings are down, and eventually it's just going to sing.
And that's what they did with the Horsemen for years. But the thing about Nash, he was
very... The
Horsemen
worked.
It didn't after a while, though.
Well, it was
so many,
Paul Rome.
Well, sure. But I'm just saying, Nash was a very political maneuverer. He saved his money, and I think some guys might be bitter about that, too, as far as it comes to Nash, because he was smart with his money, at least. Now, Omega... we haven't heard from you, your feelings on Nash.
Well, yeah, I just think it's, I kind of agree with Mark, it's just an old guy, he's trying to keep his name out there and try to be relevant, you know, I don't know, I mean, he worked his thing with CM Punk and that failed completely, so I think this is just another desperate grasp to keep the fame going.
They're still working a thing with, on his Twitter at least, because we're best friends. yeah, thank you for the callback from earlier. About he's tweeting about CM Punk and a return to the NWO, and I'm like, really?
He'll try, man. He'll try to stay relevant.
Well, it's on the website too. Time for the NWO to return is CM Punk the one.
No. Yeah, no.
No.
Definitely.
I mean, when you recall back to the fact that Shawn Michaels was a member of the NWO, it's time to stop. Now, on the other side of this, I wanted to get your feelings. Do you think people are just mad because you picked two guys that are dead and everybody liked them?
Well, it's partly that, and it's partly guys that were pretty over.
No, well, yeah, I'd say they were over.
Yeah, I mean, they were completely over. They were for... Okay. For a certain type of fan, that was, and I'm one of those fans.
Yes.
That was a moment that was long coming. And what I mean by that is...
Long overdue.
Yeah, you had to sit through a lot of Hogan, you had to sit through a lot of Nash, you had to sit through a lot of guys.
Bret Hart.
Well, no, I like Bret Hart.
No, not in a bad way, I just meant...
But a lot of guys that couldn't work. A lot of guys that couldn't lace up.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, a lot of guys that couldn't lace up Benoit's shoes. That couldn't lace up,
Guerrero's
shoes.
I don't understand why it matters that these guys were five whatever they were.
It doesn't. At least to me.
I mean, it really makes me want to hate the guy. Like, why would you say something so stupid? And it comes back to what you said to me over the chat. You know what? He's working all of us. He's getting exactly what he wants out of this. People are talking about him. He's working everyone.
Next time I have Brady on, I'm going to have him relay a tale of one time Raven was really giving it to him and what Raven said to him right before he drove away. So that, I'm just going to tease that for the next time Brady's on.
Oh, no, don't.
I'm teasing it. It's a teaser.
I want to know what Ref Rich is teasing, other than Ryan's mom.
Oh, my goodness, I don't. Ref Rich, I had no idea who, I recognized him, I wasn't sure.
Oh, I'm so glad. He still sounds like he's calling from a field radio.
He does. He's like, I'm in Vietnam. We're under heavy fire.
There's Charlie up in the trees. I need napalm dropped.
You know what? Maybe
you're close.
Maybe he was having a flashback as he was calling in. I don't know. And,
I gotta go right now. I'm getting shot at from the trees. I gotta go. Click.
What was that all about? Tonight's been a little kooky.
But it'll probably be the thousands of episodes.
Now, it's that time for the closing plugs.
Oh.
Of course, we got the websites, which are ecwaprowrestling.com. To keep you updated on, they have a lot of shows coming up. September 15th, October 6th, blah-de-da. They have a lot coming up. NMRWrestling.com, check that out because they're coming back, and they're coming back better than before. And who knows, there's a rumor of quite the commentator coming. Anyway.
Yeah.
Now, Mike Tartaglia, you cannot follow him. He has no public social media. So too bad. He's the boss. That's the way he wants it. Now, Damian Dragon, you can find, as he said, STB Damian Dragon. And Matt Saigon is Saigon X Special. Mark Angel is Mark Angel 24, and that's, of course, on Twitter for everyone tonight. We had Omega Squad, we had Ryan Big Berg, we had Mark Angel, we had Fusion DS, Mike Tartaglia, American Roughneck, Ref Rich. Woo! We had a lot.
El Taco Grande,
even.
And next week we'll have Kevin Nash.
Nah, that probably won't happen. But for all them, and I'm going to give you another teaser to end the show. Perhaps a new show may be coming on board. You never know. So
the movie will begin in 5 moments, the mindless voice announced. All those unseated will await the next show. We filed slowly, languidly into the hall. The auditorium was vast and silent. As we seated and were darkened, the voice continued. The program for this evening is not new. You have seen this entertainment through and through. You've seen your birth, your life and death. You might recall all of the rest. Did you have a good world when you died? Enough to base a movie on?